have your Bible with you. I want to follow along in a little bit of reading this morning from Scripture. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. While you're turning to that, I would encourage anybody that was not here on the last Sunday of June to go to the church website and listen to the messages that Brother Cassidy preached that Sunday. And, you can go to the website and listen to what Brother Smith preached last Sunday as well. But I haven't listened to those yet. I have them downloaded, but I haven't got them listened to yet. But I would encourage you to go and listen to what Brother Cassidy was saying. I wrote him and told him, thank you for minding the leading of the Holy Spirit in those services. And in his messages, I believe it's vital, real, and it's important for us. And if you weren't here for those two services when he was filling in while I was at Pilgrim Camp, then I would encourage you to go and listen to them. If you would stand with me, if you're able to, reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verse number 22, beginning. You know this story very well. I'm sure that you've read it a time or two and you've heard preaching from it as well, but let's look at it for a little bit this morning. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives, for the challenge that it gives, for the correction that it gives. Pray, Father, that you would give your anointing to the speaking, to the preaching of that word today. And may it be with what you need it to be in each of our lives this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want us to notice this morning the unexpected appearance. The unexpected appearance. There was a hungry multitude. Jesus had fed them. Then he sent them away. And it tells us that he wanted to depart. Now let's read into that just a little bit. As he has satisfied the physical hunger of this multitude, his soul hungered and needed nourishment. And he needed to get away apart, be apart for a while by himself to pray. There's some good admonition right there. I'm not going to stop there very long, and we're not going to get stuck in this position, but even as he was feeding and taking care of the physical needs around him, his spiritual heart, even though he was God, take notice that he was also man, and he needed to be apart, set himself apart to pray. Good words for us. He constrained his disciples in the midst of this occurrence, what was taking place. He constrained his disciples to go to the other side, to go across the sea by himself, or by themselves, to get away, and then he would come later. I don't know if I can read the New Testament anymore about anything about the Sea of Galilee without having a different opinion of that sea than what I did before going there and seeing it firsthand. You say, well, how can that possibly change your opinion or your mind about anything? Because I saw it while it was calm, and I suppose that that's the way it was when they got into the ship and began their journey, that it was a nice, calm evening. Beautiful setting, the sun setting in the west. It's just a great experience to be able to see that, and you've possibly seen pictures. Some of you have been there as well and have seen it firsthand. And yet when you read these stories and you hear stories about how quickly the atmosphere can change on that little Sea of Galilee to where the tempest was raging. But he constrains them to go to the other side. Somebody said that here is a picture of Christ's present position and of his coming again. Jesus is now on the Mount of Intercession before the Father. His disciples are still being tossed with the tempest on the sea of this troublous world. But one day he will appear again and deliver his church out of all its troubles. And as Peter went to meet him on the waters, so shall we meet him in the air. What a picture. If that was the intent of Christ, to paint us a picture of the end times where the disciples were tossed here and to and fro and Jesus up on the mountain. And the present picture is this writer is saying that Christ is positioned with the Father and he's interceding. And in the midst of his intercession, he sees us, you and I, as individuals, where we are and what we have need of. He sees the storm in which we are living. Now, you may not be facing a storm right now, but if you're a Christian, you will be facing some kind of a storm sometime or another. It's just part of life. As a matter of fact, it's part of humanity because people face storms. But it's a delight to know that God, that Jesus Christ, is interceding from the mountain, as it were, from the right hand of the Father, and he's looking down and he sees our particular needs. As we see this picture of what's taking place, and you're familiar with it, don't have to go into a whole lot of introduction as to what all is going on. It's simple enough as what we've read. There are some practical lessons that we can learn about this situation, even beyond what we've already quickly, briefly looked at in relationship to spiritual hunger and Jesus acknowledging that spiritual hunger. And in the midst of the storm, God, Jesus Christ, knows where we are. He sees our present position. Let's take a look at some things, though, that are given to us as lessons, practical lessons out of this passage. The first one would be that the obedient to Christ, those that follow Him, those that are faithful to Him, the obedient to Christ will be tried. Practical lessons out of this passage of Scripture would tell us that the obedient will be tried. Jesus constrained them to go before him unto the other side. You'll see that in verse number 22. I don't know how much we can read into this. It tells us that he constrained them. So it gives us maybe at least a little bit of an implication that his disciples were reluctant to leave. At least a little bit of an inference here that they were not really, really excited about going out and doing this while Jesus was going to part himself away, separate himself from them. They were a little bit reluctant. He had to constrain them to go. But they obeyed. They obeyed. They did what he asked them to do. He told them, he constrained them, and they proceeded to be obedient to his voice. They proceeded to do his will, but in the process of doing his bidding, they were sorely tested. Now, I hope that that jumps out at you as a practical lesson for our spiritual lives, because sometimes you and I may find ourselves in the place that I'm being obedient, Lord. Why do I have to face this problem? You ever been there? Lord, I'm trying to be faithful to you. Why do I have to face this trial? This severe test, this sore, distressing moment of my life. You know, those times are real. Those times are prevalent sometimes in a person's life. And we find that that is a practical lesson right here out of this passage, that in the process of doing His will, they were severely tested. I don't know if you've been tested very severely lately. Have you? I mean, I'm not saying that you haven't. I'm just asking a question. Have you been severely tested? I'm talking about in the process of doing God's will, in the process of being obedient to Him, faithful to Him, that there was a trial or a test that came along in the midst of and because of doing His will. Somebody said that the trial of your faith is precious, more precious than tried gold. Now, I read that statement and I had to stop and read it a couple more times to get it into my head a little bit. The trial of your faith is precious, more precious than tried gold. Now, before you go through the trial, before you go through the testing, you're probably going to read that or hear that and say, you know, wow, well, that's no big deal, and brush it off. But if you hear that while you're in the middle of the trial, you're going to say, forget it. I don't want to hear that right now. But if you hear that after you've been through the trial, you'll say, yes, I can see that. It all depends on our perspective at the moment as to how we respond to that kind of a statement, that it is good for us or it is necessary for us to be tried in our faith. Jesus knew exactly what is coming in the moments ahead for those disciples, even as He constrained them or as He talked to them and told them to obey Him. He knew exactly what was coming. Now here's a twist that may even harm us in our thinking if we allow it to, that Jesus could have done something to stop it. See, that's sometimes what we want. Lord, I'm being obedient. Why don't you stop this? Why don't you prevent this? Keep this out of my life. Jesus knew, and He could have stopped it, but He constrained them to go, knowing that they needed to have the testing or the severe trial in the midst of their obedience. That's some profound stuff if you want to accept it. Not only are we going to be tried in the midst of obedience, but we'll find that while we are tried in the midst of obedience, that the very thing that we trusted in is likely to fail us, humanly speaking. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, let's look at what the story's talking about here. This particular incident, we see that these people, we know that a number of these people, these disciples, are seamen. They have been on the sea a number of times. It's not unfamiliar territory to them. They are in a ship. That should be a place of comfort for them, don't you think? What's your place of comfort? The place of ease, the place where you can relax and you can just be at ease emotionally and maybe even mentally and physically, just have an easy time relaxing. You know, it's August now and October's coming. I'm thinking, where am I the most relaxed? They were in the ship. The thing that they trusted in was likely to fail them. The ship was tossed with waves. I don't know how big those waves were. I've seen some big waves in my time. Was just sharing a little bit the other day with somebody. I think it was up at Athens. Was talking about some things, a mission field or something or other. And as we were sitting on the shore, my wife and I was sitting on the sidelines of the bay, a little creek inlet into the bay. And it was at youth camp in Dominica. guess I should have shared this Wednesday night instead of the roach incident, but anyway, and here we are, we're seated there, and we're watching the happenings around us, and all of a sudden we look out into the bay, and there rises out of that basically calm bay a huge wave, 10, 20 feet high. I don't know how high it was. I didn't have a measuring stick, and it was a ways away. I know one thing, that it, when it swept into that bay and up across that inlet creek and little bitty stream, that it was just mere inches or feet away from our feet as we were seated way up high above. And it carried everybody that was down in that water way upstream. I've seen some big waves. I struggle a little bit to believe that, or to understand that, that the Sea of Galilee can produce such tremendous waves. But they say that it's very tumultuous. It's very dangerous in the midst of the storm. And we find that these disciples are in the midst of a tumultuous storm. The waves are beating severely against the thing that they are likely to trust in. Isn't that a thought for you this morning? That the very thing that you have confidence in, unless it's Jesus Himself, you got to keep that in mind. In following Christ, we must beware of trusting anything apart from Him. The strong arm of flesh. It doesn't matter how strong that arm is. That strong arm of flesh can fail you. Our own understanding or even our past experience can fail. Our trust is in the... You know what the psalmist said, lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but we are to trust in Him. You see, their faith needed to be tested. It wasn't the ship that was to protect them, but it was the arm of the Savior. The very thing that they would trust in would fail them. Another thing that we notice about this trial that they were experiencing as they obeyed God was that the very thing that at one time helped them now became a hindrance. I don't know about you, but my mind instantly goes back to a message that Brother Daniel Edwards preached here when he was here for Youth Revival. Do you remember that message that he talked about blessings and cursings? Are all blessings from God and all cursings from Satan? Remember how he shared with us that there are some cursings that we would think of as cursings that God can use as blessings, and sometimes the things that we call blessings that we can allow them to become a curse to us. How dangerous it is that we don't allow the blessings to continue to be blessings or the cursings to curse us. God intends everything in our life to be a blessing to us in the long run. That's why He tells us that all things work together for our good. The very thing that was helping them along to begin with now became a hindrance to them. You say, well, I'm not following it. Well, let's look at it real quickly here. Their thing that was helping them was the wind. They had set the sails. They were out there and enjoying the evening. They were sailing across the sea, but suddenly the wind became contrary. That means that the wind shifted directions and it was no longer helping them go the direction they wanted to go. Someone said the wind which wafted them across the lake now hinders their progress. While seeking to do God's will, the Lord may expect us to meet a storm of opposition. But there is a deep need for every contrary wind in the experience of God's people. There is a deep need. You can speculate about all that was going on here. You could say that this wind detained them, and in detaining them, it kept them in that position where God wanted them for Jesus to come walking out. You know, they could have been anywhere for that matter, but sometimes we face a detaining for a specific purpose. God wants us in a specific place at a specific time for a specific reason. Do you believe in the providence of God? Why are you here this morning? Why am I here this morning? Why am I anywhere at any one time? Or you at any one time? Do you think it's just mere happenstance? It's just part of our lives? Or is God orchestrating every detail of our lives? That everything in our lives, everything, every move, every change, every piece of opposition, most powerful message I've ever heard preached was at Evansville on a Sunday morning when I felt like I was at the end of myself, struggling all week long trying to find a message for that Sunday morning, and God kept telling me, no, no, no. The only thing that God would allow me to do was to quote Hebrews 9:27. Lord, there's got to be more than that. These people have come to church to hear some preaching. You've got to give me more. No, you're only going to quote that one verse. And then when you're done quoting that one verse, you're supposed to ask Herman Decker to dismiss us in prayer. If you know the Deckers, you may know him as Chester Decker. And so that's what I did. I said, folks, I'm sorry, I apologize, but this is what God told me to say. This is what God told me to do. I said, Brother Herman Decker, he is sitting back somewhere around where Daniel's seated in that size of a sanctuary. And as I called on him to dismiss in prayer, he stepped out and he said, Brother Ziegler, can I say a few words? And I said, by all means. He said, the early morning hours, God told him that I didn't have a message to preach, and he told him to preach a message exactly on the text that I quoted. It is appointed unto man once to die. And he laid out a story of how circumstances took place. And he was on his way to ministerial convention with some other fellow pastors and preachers. And in the midst of that travel, they were detained here and they were detained there. And then they were making their way up the highway. And in the moment of time, a semi crossed the line and hit them head on and took the driver out, instantly killing him. He said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and God providentially had everything taking place so that he would have his appointment with God. At that, you say, well, that's gruesome. That's the reality of life. You see, everything in our lives has a point and a place and a time. How very real it is. These men were out here toiling. They were out here struggling. They were out here obeying. They were obeying the voice of God, but they came up against some opposition. The very thing that was helping them became a hindrance to them. We also find that their strenuous efforts were of little avail. Some of you can probably say amen to that. No matter how hard you toil, without the help of the Holy Spirit, without the help of Jesus Christ, it's useless. He saw them toiling in their rowing. You see, the job was too big for them. The responsibility was greater than their slender shoulders. They were incapable. Oh, these men were trained. They knew what they were doing. I suppose that they still had the keen edge of their strength. They were able to toil in rowing, but they were weakening. They were fearful. This story indicates to us that they had become afraid in the midst of this storm. It was more than what they wanted to be facing at this particular time. It was overwhelming to them. What adjective can I use to infiltrate your mind and in your thinking as to what your problem is today, or your storm, or your battle, your conflict, and how you are trying to face it by yourself and your own strength? It's overwhelming. We can toil, our most strenuous efforts are of little avail unless He abides with us. Just as much as the obedient will be tried, let's quickly notice that the obedient will be helped. Jesus saw them toiling in their rowing. Now that doesn't tell us a whole bunch necessarily, but we find that it very quickly changes and it tells us that He is down there with them. So can we find it in our heart this morning to understand that while He was up on the mountaintop looking, now one thing we need to notice here real quickly is that it's dark, it's a storm, it's pitch black. But He saw them. We need to keep that in our mind. He saw them. Tossed with the waves, the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. He knew exactly where they were. He saw them. The obedient will be helped. Now let's zero this in a little bit. Looking at this story, we can say that He saw every stroke of the oar. He heard every groan of the heart. Maybe you don't do it that way. Maybe yours is this way, and He hears every half-choked sigh. He's an eyewitness to every bitter tear. Now, am I getting close to your storm? I'm talking about the cry from your heart. Am I getting anywhere close to where you might be this morning? He is aware of your situation. He knows your location. We can also notice that our fruitless efforts may prove to be a blessing by bringing Christ closer to us. Have you ever been there? He'll come walking on the water of life's troubled sea. For we know we need His presence, so calm we will be. Though the billows round me roll and the boisterous winds do blow, in the hollow of His hand, I am resting in His plan. What a comfort just to know that my Lord is in control in the midst of it all. He'll come walking on the water of life's troubled sea. For we know we need His presence, so calm we can be. Though the billows round me roll and the boisterous winds do blow, in the hollow of His hand, I am resting in His plan. What a comfort just to know that my Lord is in control in the midst of it all. The obedient will be helped. He constrained them to go. They obeyed. They were severely tested. But the obedient will be helped. They'll be helped at an unexpected time. It was in the fourth watch of the night. Spiritual experience would indicate to us that it's the darkest hour before the daybreak. It's the darkest time before the light shines through. It's the darkest hour that you're living in. At the unexpected time, help will arrive. Not only the unexpected time, but maybe we could even say that it's in an unexpected way. He came walking to them. He got above the billows. He was on top of the storm. He came walking to them across that tumultuous sea. Unexpected way. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I wonder if he put it in there knowing that this verse, this passage of Scripture was going to come to us. He'll come walking on the water for you and I. He'll come in an unexpected way, and with it, he'll bring an unexpected blessing. You say, oh my, why didn't you stop back there with that course? An unexpected blessing in the midst of the tumult, an unexpected blessing in the midst of the storm, an unexpected blessing, yes, an unexpected blessing when we least expect it, when we can't understand how it can be happening, but an unexpected blessing from an unexpected source. Jesus came walking on the water. Telling you this morning that it doesn't matter what we are facing, the same words are good for us as was good for them. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Jesus is nearby. He may take away the thorn, or He may not take away the thorn. But either way, His grace is sufficient. He may stop the stormy waves. He may prevent the stormy waves. But either way, He gives grace. He gives strength. He gives His presence to those who obey. He meets the needs for those who follow Him. Remember the three Hebrew children, they were not saved from the fiery furnace, but He walked with them in the midst of the fiery furnace. What are we talking about? We're talking about an unexpected appearance. Jesus knows our location. And while we obey Him, He provides the help that we need. What's your confidence in today? Is it in the thing that you most likely can trust in, or is it in the one that most likely can save us, that for sure can meet our needs? Let's stand together this morning.